135 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha
Date February 11, 1983. Our beloved combatants must not regard the victory other than it being a result of divine assistances. If they think thus, then it will result in their pride giving way to a feeling that we are recipient of favors of the Blessed and the Almighty and have nothing of our own, and whatever we have is from Him and we must sacrifice in His path.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. You know, about the subject of resurrection and the hereafter, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "In this world, the manifestation of intercession of the intercessors is their guidance. And in that world, the essence of guidance is the intercession. If you did not benefit from their guidance, you shall receive no intercession. To the extent you receive guidance, you will receive intercession." You know, here Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is talking about the concept of intercession, as you see. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy has opened many doors for His sinners, servants to seek His pleasure and forgiveness. Two very important doors are tawbah or repentance and shafa'ah, that is intercession. It is accepted by all Muslims that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on behalf of the sinners of his ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Book of Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Man dhalladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi. Who is there that can intercede in his presence except by his permission? Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 255.
Ya Rabbana, salli 'ala Taha an-Nabi wa
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, "And the benefit of shafa'ah is not for those who have doubts about religion,
nor for those who ascribe a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor it is for the unbelievers and those who rejected the truth, but it is for the benefit of the sinners among those who believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The important point is that our belief about Shafa'ah is meant for those whose faith was acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who might have committed sins, capital or trivial. And those who had repented from their sins will not need any intercession. And the Prophet said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who does not believe in my intercession, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not permit him to get my shafa'ah. And he also said, there is no intercessor more successful than repentance. So you see how Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, just in line with our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explained about the concept of intercession. Thank you very much, dear listeners. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians demonstrated across the occupied West Bank in support of their brothers and sisters in the besieged Gaza Strip and against Israeli airstrikes bounding the blockaded territory for almost a week. Thousands here in Ramallah poured out onto the streets after the Friday prayers, demanding the world not to turn a blind eye to the atrocities committed by Israel against the civilians in the long blockaded Gaza Strip.
It's a new stage in the ethnic cleansing of our people and a genocide. Our message to the whole world, the Palestinian people have the right to live, not to be killed. Immediate international intervention is required to end the massacres and end the Israeli occupation and prevent the current ethnic cleansing. We are all in the same boat, and we have the right to resist the Israeli occupation granted by the international laws.
Hundreds of Gazans living and working in Ramallah have been among the protesters. All of them told us they feel helpless. All of them are worried about their family members. They fear that if their beloved ones die, they will not be able to see them. And they wish they were there with their family under the airstrikes so they would die together.
Civilians are being murdered. We are not terrorists. We are not the murderers of children. This war must immediately come to an end. My family, my wife, and my children are there in Gaza. Can you imagine how I feel? I cannot sleep. It's painful to stay here and watch without being able to do anything when the Israelis are committing all sorts of atrocities against my people.
I wonder if the world is watching the children and infants in Gaza being slaughtered. 20 children from Abu al-Hayat family were slaughtered. They were my family's neighbors. The situation on the ground is awful. What should I say? What sort of message can we deliver? What's happening is so difficult. Only Allah can save us. No one will save Gaza today but Allah.
Following the rally in central Ramallah, scores of Palestinians from all walks of life marched toward areas where Israeli checkpoints were located across the occupied West Bank. Thousands of protesters arrived at the Beit El military checkpoint northern Ramallah and clashed with Israeli soldiers. The troops opened fire at the rally to disperse the angry protesters.
The scenes of slaughter and genocide committed against civilians in the Gaza Strip is a proof that Israel is trying to wipe out the entire besieged territory. And if this happens, people here say they will face the same destiny. Muna Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Chants against the U.S. and Israel resonated through streets of Pakistan as angry protesters set their flags alight. People across Pakistan came together to observe Friday as a day of solidarity with the Palestinians, expressing their unwavering support for the liberation of Palestine. The gesture is intended to demonstrate Pakistan's commitment to the rights and welfare of Palestinian people. The streets of key Pakistani cities were filled with demonstrators condemning the ongoing Israeli aggression against the Palestinians in the occupied territories.
We can see that in the whole world, the people, they are now admiring that the Palestinian people, they have the right to live in their own homeland, which was actually over-occupied by the Israelis. So here, the people of Pakistan, they are showing their emotions, their sensation and their feelings to support this cause.
We are here to show the support to the people of Palestine.
We condemn the Israeli bombing on Gaza.
The Friday prayers in mosques across Pakistan were dedicated to Palestinian cause, with special prayers offered for peace and justice in the war-torn region. The demonstrators emphasized the importance of a just and lasting solution to the Palestine issue, one that recognizes the rights and aspirations of people of Palestine.
Today, the whole of Pakistan is on the streets to tell the people of Palestine that they are not alone and we all stand by you. You are the one who teaches us how to stand firm against the oppressor. Palestinians have not only shown that they are brave enough but also prove that they are real Husseinis and are also true Muslims.
These protest rallies seek an end to violence, observance of human rights and Palestinian liberation.
The protests in Pakistan are part of a global movement in support of the Palestinian cause. During rallies, people around the world express their solidarity with the Palestinians and call for an end to Israel's aggression. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
A large crowd of Afghans marching in Kabul to show their solidarity with Palestinians facing Israeli atrocities and bloodshed in Gaza. The protesters waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against Israel and the United States, saying they will stand with their brothers and sisters in Palestine forever.
The Afghanistan Mujahid Nation has gathered today here to praise and to withstand with their brothers in Palestine, especially in Gaza, the Mubarak operation of Tufan al-Aqsa, which has shown us the weakness of our enemy, the Zionist enemy, Israel. And also we are here to stand with our civilian brothers and sisters who are being killed, tortured, and bombed, and being blasted by the Israeli Zionist regime, committing an act of war crime under the eyes of the international community by support of the biggest Satan of this world, the United States and the European countries.
The participants condemned the Israeli war on Gaza and U.S. support for the killing of innocent Palestinians. They also called on all Muslim nations to unite around Palestine and fight global arrogance and oppression.
The American tank, the American bomb, the American thing coming to Palestine, they killing Palestinian civilian. They kick out the Palestinian from his own house. The Muslims should stand together. They need to act together. The way the American, the Yahuda, the Nasara act together, the Muslims should do the same thing. Why they are sleeping?
For the sake of God, it is a shame for the Arab nations to witness their Palestinian brothers suffer and do nothing. Where is your courage and Islamic brotherhood? If you are not supporting Palestine in the face of our worst enemy, you can't claim to be a Muslim. You should make it clear whether you are with the Muslim Ummah or with the occupiers.
The rally in Kabul was one of the many demonstrations held across the world in support of Palestine. Millions of Muslims condemned the Israeli regime's atrocities against the people of Palestine as the Tel Aviv regime kept pounding the Gaza Strip with bombs and continued its complete siege on the area. Afghan people have always supported Palestinians in the face of atrocities and occupation. Today, they join other nations to call for an immediate end to Israeli assaults and killings of innocent people in Gaza. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
In Paris, thousands of people protested despite a new nationwide ban on all pro-Palestinian demonstrations, which appears certain to cause global condemnation. While a pro-Israel protest in Paris was immediately approved on Monday, pro-Palestinian protests always require 3 days of waiting, which many in France have often found unfair. On Thursday, the permit was applied for, but the Interior Minister refused to issue a protest permit and instead declared his blanket ban, which was then approved by the judicial branch.
It's been 6 years of dictatorship under Macron. We don't have the right to freedom of assembly. We don't have the right to defend the oppressed. And we don't have the right to remind the world that France is among those who are persecuting Palestinians the very most.
The government alleged that pro-Palestinian demonstrations were a threat to public order, which many found inaccurate, biased, and insulting. In 2014, France became the first country ever to ban pro-Palestinian demonstrations, which were in response to Israel's latest invasion of Gaza, which caused more than 13,000 casualties, the vast majority of them civilians. France's pro-Palestinian demonstrators repeatedly defied the ban, leading to police brutality and even more global condemnation. France continually holds itself up as a beacon of human rights, but from the yellow vests to Palestine to anti-austerity resistance, many say the government and media collude to deny an honest picture of French public opinion and even fundamental human freedoms.
The media refuses to talk about the children and families who are being massacred right now by the inhuman bombing in Gaza. We are making an appeal to President Macron right now to stop. It's your job to demand the peace, which the French people insist upon.
As soon as the sun went down, French riot police unleashed water cannons, batons, tear gas, and arrests. Tear gas was launched indiscriminately at children and old people, as is common at French protesters, and which routinely goes without condemnation or even notice from Western commentators. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
The developments in Palestine stir up a range of emotions in South Africans: religious, humanitarian, historical, and personal.
As a young person, when I participated in the struggle against apartheid, I could immediately identify with the Hamas fighters breaking out of the Gaza Strip. It was a moment of excitement, a moment in which I would have wanted to step out of the ghettos in which we were living. And I could fully understand and appreciate the frustration under which the people of Gaza has been living and the fighters of Hamas have been operating.
But for others, the ongoing Israeli atrocities over successive campaigns of terror against the Gaza Strip in particular have shown them the true face of Zionism.
The subjugation of the Palestinian people is nothing but racism. And therefore, irrespective of from which perspective we come, if we are serious about it and if we have a shred of humanity, we must be opposed to racism.
I decided to stand for humanity and justice. What is going on in Palestine today is unequivalent to anything else that we've seen in this world.
When the whole world is looked away, that's what they've resorted to. And now for me, it said we need to continue to stand with them throughout this to show that they are not alone. And they don't need to listen to other media outlets where they say that they are the bad ones, that other people believe in their struggle and in their cause.
In fact, it is quite disappointing, it's distasteful, it's embarrassing that we still have South Africans that have experienced apartheid and still support Israel.
And it is that cohort of South Africans that protesters came to deliver their message to. The Zionist Center behind me has been quiet, but South African Zionists are active in the Israeli aggression and routinely send over South African citizens to fight in the Israeli occupation force. Protesters have demanded that the South African government take action against them. As Palestinians continue to face the brutally racist Zionist regime, those who had just a mere taste of Zionism's twin sister year have vowed to keep up protests. Hassan City of Cape Town.
Palestinians in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah took to the streets again on the Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip. The horrific footage from Gaza over the past days cannot help but shock, protesters say.
The airstrikes and the massacres being carried out in the Gaza Strip is under the protection of the American administration, and what's going on is terrifying. Israel cut the water and the electricity. People will not have access to food and fuel. Israeli occupation army is shelling residential buildings, and they're evacuated. Children, women, and elderly are killed and remain under the rubble. These images hurt the feelings, but unfortunately, we're speaking about a cruel enemy. Nothing will affect them. They're killers.
We Palestinians hold the same blood here in Ramallah and in Gaza, but it is their destiny that they are on the battlefield. Gazans hold the Arab and Islam flag. They continue to keep the Arab heads up. The least to do today is to take part in the protests and demonstrations. The least to do is going to the military checkpoints and areas where settlements are and clash with them. Our blood is one, and we are in the same path.
People were chanting for the Gaza Strip and for Hamas fighters while they were touring the main streets of Ramallah. Since the start of the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, Palestinians say they struggle to live normal lives. As the streets were really eerie, Palestinian officials who were taking part in the rally pointed out that the bloodiest operation in Gaza requires immediate international intervention to protect the Gazans who have been suffering for years because of the Israeli blockades and wars.
Today, all forms of comprehensive resistance must be adopted. This war has literally united people of different political affiliations, and with our unity, we can fight the genocidal war. This genocide has been carried out by the fascist Israeli regime. Today, it's urgently needed to address the United Nations to ensure the protection of Gaza residents. We must also work on prosecuting the Israeli regime for the crimes committed against the Palestinian people.
Israel has imposed a full lockdown, which tightens the grip on the daily lives of the residents of the occupied West Bank. A heavy military presence has converged all over the West Bank, preventing transporting between West Bank areas because of the closure of military checkpoints. Since Saturday, Israeli forces have killed over 25 Palestinians and wounded a few hundred others. Many of them were taking part in pro-Gaza rallies.
Protests against Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip have spread all over Palestinian territories. However, while Israel's onslaught on Gaza goes on unabated, more Palestinians are being killed in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds, Mona Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
It's feared that Israel is engaging in an act of genocide across the Gaza Strip. Amid the deadly bombing, essential services have been cut off, all exits have been closed by the regime's forces, and vital aid is not being allowed in. EU Foreign Affairs ministers held emergency talks on Tuesday and had to concede that Israel is breaking international law.
The United Nations has already said that, as cutting water, cutting electricity, cutting food to a mass of civilian people is against international law.
It suggested the sheer scale of the latest crisis could be an impetus for positive change.
This could be an awakening moment in order to re-engage with the problem of Palestine and Israel.
Campaigners in Belgium are condemning Israel's latest onslaught.
This mass aggression and bombing in Gaza cannot eliminate the action of the Palestinian resistance, who came flying and on the ground fighting for liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea.
We, the Palestinian diaspora, have to be united. We can see today the hypocrisy of the West still funding and supporting the Zionist colonies and settlements inside Palestine. This must be stopped.
The EU's executive arm is being forced to backtrack after Commissioner Oliver Varhelyi tweeted on Monday that all funding to Palestine is being cut off.
The announcement which was made by Commissioner Varhelyi was not preceded by consultations with any member of the college.
Regarding Israel's latest blatant flouting of international law, there's no sign that the EU will take any action. It has never done so in the past. We have already seen pro-Palestinian rallies take place around the world since Saturday. Now groups here in Belgium have announced they will hold similar events in the coming days. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The people of Pakistan have attended a massive rally in the capital city of Islamabad to voice their anger against the atrocities committed by Israel in the Palestinian territories. They expressed their solidarity with the Palestinian people and called for an end to Israel's occupation of their land.
We demand from international communities that they should take action towards this inhumanity, and they should do something, put action towards this. Like, they are suffering for 70 years. The Palestinians suffering from 70 years, daily basis.
We're here to stand in support of the activities happening in Palestine by Hamas against the illegal Israeli occupation.
The demonstrators also slammed the United States for supporting Israel, saying the so-called champion of human rights is providing financial and military assistance to Israel for killing innocent men, women, and children in Palestine.
As America has announced the one-sided support of Israel, all Muslim Ummah, especially OIC, called its meeting and announced the support of the Palestinian fighters because they are under atrocities of the Israel, and all the Muslim Ummah has to support Palestinians.
The protesters urge the Muslim world to unite and put an end to attacks on Palestinians.
The firm stance of Pakistan is on Palestine's freedom and refusal to recognize Israel as a legitimate state reflects their commitment to the principles of justice, human rights, and international laws. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Leader meets with participants of International Islamic Unity Conference and ambassadors of Islamic countries. Tuesday, 3rd of October 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the participants of the International Islamic Unity Conference, as well as ambassadors of Islamic countries and a number of Iranian officials. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on Tuesday, 3rd of October, on the occasion of the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. After welcoming all those who were present at the meeting, the leader said, "Today is a great celebration. It is a luminous, blessed day. It is the birth anniversary of the great Prophet, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and also the birth anniversary of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him." In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. Continuing with his remarks, the leader said, "Regarding the great prophet, I and others like myself are truly unable to express and comprehend the great personality of that noble person. That is really how it is. I will briefly share only a few words from the voluminous book of the virtues of the great prophet. All of humanity is indebted to this shining sun. This is what I want to say. All members of humanity, whether they believe in this religion or not, are indebted to the great prophet, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Because Prophet Muhammad brought humanity the prescription for the treatment of all of humanity's major afflictions. And this is a fact. Almighty God says in the Holy Quran, 'This is a book we have sent down to you, that you may bring mankind out of darkness into light.' But what is darkness? Darkness is all the things throughout history that have made human beings' lives dark, bitter, and poisonous. Ignorance is darkness, poverty is darkness, oppression is darkness, discrimination is darkness, drowning in lust is darkness, moral corruption and social afflictions are all darkness. These are all different kinds of darkness that humanity has suffered throughout history. Not having faith is darkness. Not having a purpose in life is darkness. These are humanity's serious afflictions. The great prophet brought humankind a prescription, both a prescription in understanding and a prescription for our actions, for the treatment of these pains. If you wish to get rid of these pains, these are the cures. Islamic laws brought by the Holy Prophet and the teachings of the Holy Quran are the cure for humanity's ills and pains." Ayatollah Khamenei added, "If you want to live well, this is how you should live." Commenting further and referring to Ayah 24 of Surah Anfal in the Holy Quran, the leader said, "But how long will this worldly life that has been returned to us last? It is limited, it is incomplete and vulnerable. A person's returned life may be taken away from them the very next day due to a stroke, cancer, or various kinds of diseases. The Almighty God says in Ayah 24 of Surah Anfal in the Holy Quran, 'O you who have faith, respond to Allah and the Messenger when he summons you to that which will give you life. The Prophet will give you life. This life is not that life. This is the life that ensures your happiness in this world, brings life to your heart, illuminates your soul, makes your life pleasant, and continues on. This life is not limited. It is not vulnerable. It is eternal life. This life that Islam, religion, and the Holy Prophet give to humanity is thousands of times more important than the life that is given to us if someone pulls us out from underneath rubble or saves us from drowning at sea. This is why humanity is indebted to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This is the right of the Prophet. We are all indebted to him." Referring to Ayah 78 of Surah Hajj in the Holy Quran, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "While some people, non-Muslims, have not had the opportunity to gain knowledge about the Prophet's religion, thus they have no way of repaying their debt. What Almighty God will do with them is not the subject of our discussion, but they cannot repay their debt. However, those who believe in Islam can repay their debt to the Prophet. The way to do this has been shown to them. and wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. He has chosen you and has not placed any hardship for you in the religion, the faith of your father, Ibrahim. He has named you Muslims. This jihad, for the sake of Allah, is the way to repay our debt, because with jihad we are submitting to God's command. If we want to compensate for what the great Prophet has done for us, the way to do this is to wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. This refers to a complete jihad. The term jihad does not just mean using swords or rocket-propelled grenades and such like. Rather, it refers to jihad in all fields. There is jihad in the scientific field, jihad in the political field, jihad in the field of knowledge, science and technology, and jihad in the field of ethics, which we are all truly in need of. We all need ethics. We all need knowledge. We need to engage in jihad. We can engage in jihad if we compiled this with divine decree that states, wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. That is when we can say that we have repaid our debt to the great Prophet to the best of our abilities. And we must wage jihad for the cause of Islam. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "Today, hostility towards Islam is more apparent than ever before. There was hostility in the past, but today it is completely clear. An example of this blind, ignorant hostility, which we have seen today, is the desecration of the Holy Quran. You see a foolish person doing this in public with the support of a government. What this shows is that the problem is not just what we are seeing out in the open, it is not just about insulting the Holy Quran. The discussion is really about the elements who are working behind the scenes in the desecration of the Holy Quran, those who are the designers of these immense crimes and vile actions. They think they can weaken the Quran with these kinds of acts, but they're mistaken. They're ruining themselves, they're revealing their true selves. The Holy Quran is a book of wisdom, a book of knowledge and human development. The one who's hostile towards the Quran is hostile towards knowledge, wisdom and human development. The Quran is against oppression. It encourages people to stand up to oppression. Neither oppress others nor be oppressed. The Quran is a call to awaken people. The one who is hostile towards the Quran does not want people to be awakened. Of course, the corrupt powers consider the Quran to be a threat to themselves. As I have said, it condemns oppression and it also reprimands oppressed people for succumbing to oppression. This is dangerous for the oppressive powers. The Quran is a danger and a threat to them. Those who now justify these actions under the pretext of freedom of speech and other such false fabrications are losing their credibility before the peoples of the world. Is anyone allowed to insult the symbols that represent Zionism in countries where it is permissible to desecrate the Holy Quran? How and with what language, better than this, can it be proven that they are under the domination of the world's usurping, criminal, plundering Zionists, whether they are the ones living in that occupied land or those living in other places? So these were a few words about the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Turning to Islamic Unity and Muslim Unity Week, the leader said, "The focus of this meeting and this week is on unity of Muslims. Well, there has been a lot spoken about Muslim unity. We have spoken about it, others have spoken about it, everyone has spoken about it. I would just like to raise a brief point. Who is the enemy of Islamic unity? Let's focus on this. Who is it that will be harmed by the unity of Muslims? Let's think about this. The enemies of the unity of Muslims are those who will suffer if Islamic countries and Islamic states unite. They will not be able to transgress, plunder, or loot other countries' resources. Problems will arise for them. They are the ones who don't want Islamic unity. Of course, there are a broad range of Islamic countries. In West Asia, North Africa, and many other parts of the world. If countries of this region unite, international powers will no longer be able to show aggression, to plunder their resources, or interfere in their internal affairs. Which power is that? The United States, of course. If countries such as Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and the Persian Gulf countries adopt a united policy in their fundamental affairs, the aggressive powers will not be able to interfere in this region's internal affairs and in its foreign policy. Today, the United States is harming the countries in this region both politically and economically. It is stealing Syria's oil and protecting the cruel, savage Daesh terrorists in its camps. This is what they're doing. They interfere in the foreign policies of governments in this region, saying, you should do this or that, or you shouldn't do that. They even interfere in the internal policies of various countries. If we all become united and adopt a united approach, the United States can no longer do these things. It will not dare to get involved in these matters. Commenting further on US hostility towards Muslims, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "This issue must be thought about. The leaders of countries, politicians and elites and experts should think about this issue. Certainly, no country in the world wants a foreign power to interfere in its internal affairs or its policies. This is obvious, but nations reluctantly succumb to them. Why? Because they're alone. However, if countries are united, if they unite, if governments back one another, and if they come together and work together, they can create a barrier and stand against interference and intrusion by foreign powers. This can be done. Of course, it is clear that we have said many times before that we do not encourage war or military action, and we avoid it as well. But I declare that we must stand together in order to prevent America's warmongering. America starts wars. The wars in this region are almost always caused by foreign agents. The border disputes and such matters cannot lead to these kinds of conflicts that we have seen in this region in the last few years. The foreign powers have provoked these wars. They come, spend money, and persuade thugs to act against innocent civilians. The elites and politicians and the heads of countries need to really think about this issue. This is an important issue for all of us. It is a vital issue. The issue of the Zionist regime of Israel is another important issue. It is also an issue which concerns this region. We have already spoken about the United States. The Israeli regime is full of spite and anger, not just towards us, although we don't really care. It is clear how they feel about the Islamic Republic of Iran, but they feel the same about many other countries as well. The Israeli regime is not happy or pleased with countries around them. They hold a grudge against many countries such as Egypt. They hold a grudge against Syria. And they also hold a grudge against Iraq, because their goal was to take over the land from the Nile to the Euphrates, but that didn't happen. At various times and for various reasons, these countries haven't allowed this to happen. Thus, the Zionists are filled with grudge and pain. They're filled with anger. Today, Palestine is the main issue of the Islamic world. Of course, it has been this way for several decades. This is not just true today. For several decades, the issue of Palestine has been the main issue of the Islamic world. The Zionists have forced a people out of their homeland. They've usurped it and occupied it. Thousands of Palestinians have been killed, tortured, and imprisoned, and displaced. This is no small matter. The main issue of the Islamic world today is the issue of occupied Palestine. The firm view of the Islamic Republic of Iran is that governments that are gambling on normalizing their relations with the Zionist regime will suffer losses. Defeat awaits them. They are making a big mistake. As the Europeans say, they're betting on a losing horse. Today, the situation of the Israeli regime is not a situation that encourages closeness to that regime. Other governments should not make this mistake. The usurper Israeli regime is collapsing soon and is coming to an end. Today, the Palestinian movement is more alive than ever before. Today, the Palestinian youth and the Palestinian movement, the anti-occupation, anti-oppression, anti-Zionism movement is more energetic than ever before, more alive. And God willing, this movement will achieve its aims. The Honourable Founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, used to say that the usurper Zionist regime is a cancerous tumour. This cancer will definitely be eradicated, God willing, by the hands of the Palestinian youth.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
In the name of Allah, Salam. So welcome, this is another episode of Lantern. On the continuation of this episode of Lantern, we have the hunter, the sheikh, and the hungry cat. Once upon a time, there lived a hunter in a forest. He was young and strong and very successful as a hunter. To amuse himself, this hunter kept a cat as a pet. In the late afternoon, when the hunter ate his meal of roasted meat, he gave some of it to the cat. This cat got so used to the meat that if any other food was offered that was not meat, it would refuse to eat it. It was indeed a spoiled cat. It so happened that one day the young man fell sick. He could not go out hunting. So the hunter took out some barley, boiled it, and sat down to it. The cat came running for its food, and the hunter offered some of the barley to the cat. The cat smelled the barley, hissed at the food, and walked away. There also lived in the forest a certain sheikh in a hut not too far away from that of the hunter. Sensing that something was wrong with the hunter because he had not heard the sounds that resulted from his usual hunting, the sheikh went to see the young man. "Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you," the sheikh greeted the young hunter. "Are you well, my young friend?" said the sheikh. "I have a fever, my sheikh," said the hunter, "and a terrible headache, so I could not go hunting today." At this point, the hunter's pet cat came out. It was still hissing from the lack of meat. This cat eats only meat, said the hunter. I offered it some barley, but it refused to eat it. And it has been hissing since the morning. The sheikh thought for a moment. Give me the cat for 3 days, said the sheikh, and help me build a cage. I will train the cat. The sheikh carried home the cage and with it the cat. The first day he offered the cat water and some barley in a cup, which was placed outside the cage, and within each and within reach of the cat hissed and turned away. This scene was repeated the second day. The third day, the sheikh pulled the cup of barley away so that the cat could not reach it even if it wanted to. The cat hissed all morning, but by the afternoon of the third day, the hissing stopped and it was all quiet. By now, the hunter was feeling better and he came to the sheikh to collect his cat. Greeting the sheikh, he asked how the cat was doing. I will show you, said the sheikh. He opened the door to the cage. The cat ran straight to the cup of barley. Only after licking the cup clean of all the barley did the cat turn to the hunter. The hunter had learned his lesson. Thank you, my sheikh, said the hunter. I should treat my nafs the way you treated this cat. Do not give it to the fancy desires of your nafs. Keep it on the tight leash, feed it with the food of contentment.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Lantern from iWeb English Radio This is Zainab Musavi and what we do in this program is to listen to certain stories and then take the moral lessons out of them in order for us to make use of them in our ordinary life as Muslims You know, the story we've just listened to is about training the nafs and being aware not to let it do what it desires in an uncontrollable manner. The third type of nafs is nafs al-mutma'inna. The Holy Book of Quran says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ ارْجَعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ To the righteous, it will be said, O reassured soul, return to your Lord well-pleased and pleasing to Him. Surah Al-Fajr, verses number 27 and 28. This type of nafs that is introduced as mutma'inna means that the nafs is a state of serenity. The contented, tranquil, at peace nafs. You know, obviously, the peace here means that it has aman or safety and itminan, that is contentment from doing sin. It has no unlawful desires. It has desires that it was the nafs, that as the nafs was. You know, that is what the nafs does, but it only desires good things. The sign of this nafs is exactly what we just mentioned. You know, this person not only abstains from sin, he or she no longer desires sin. That faculty and part of their humanity that desires, that is their nafs, only and only desires things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views as desirable. And it has stopped desiring those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has labeled them as undesirable. Okay, let's go for a short break and soon we will be back.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Lantern and we are talking about different types of nafs and we want to talk more about one of them that is nafs al-ammara.
Now let's talk a little more about this nafs that we are supposed to train, which is nafs al-ammara. Following nafs al-ammara is among those actions that can destroy man at any level. The Holy Book of Quran warns believers against it, advising people to stay away from it and remain cautious. This nafs refers to any action or covert behavior which is against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants man to reach perfection, and his will is focused on this target. If our desires are not in line with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we end up in following nafs al-ammara. This is why the Holy Book of Quran recommends people to stay away from those people who only follow their nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطْعِ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Do not be those whom we have caused to neglect us and instead follow their own desires beyond all limits. Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 28. Failing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting His mercies, rule, authority, following Satan and implementing extremist actions are examples where nafs al-mutma'inna can lead us to. There is a hadith from the Holy Prophet ﷺ in which a military battle is described as the smaller jihad, and the struggle against the soul is characterized as greater jihad, or the major jihad, or the major struggle. Allama Tabatabai believes that the struggle against the soul in this hadith is struggle against commanding soul or nafs al-ammara. Allama Majlisi cites a hadith to effect that your greatest enemy is your soul, interpreting it as referring to one's evil commanding soul. Okay, dear listeners, that's the time we've got for this episode of Lantern. Today we talked about different types of nafs, and especially we talked about nafs al-ammara, how dangerous it can be. And I hope that all of us would work on ourselves and leave this nafs to its own and come nearer to nafs al-lawama and nafs al-mutma'inna, inshallah. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.